Hi, this is Pastor Eric Dalma from Gospel of Grace Fellowship. It is our privilege to present to you this classic CIC radio broadcast. We pray that God uses it to encourage you in the gospel and equip you to discern truth from error.
This morning, the message is from Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. The passage is often referenced when we discuss the issue of the occult, because it's one of the clearest passages in the Old Testament that talks about the occult and explains why it's something that we must avoid. It isn't just an old covenant issue. It's not that in the Old Testament it wasn't okay. They can't go to the spiritist or the medium or the necromancer, but now in the New Testament we can. No way. These things are forbidden for a reason that transcends the covenants. The reason for the forbidding of occult activity is that the danger and the damage and the spiritual peril that's involved with these things is always going to be an issue until actually the very end of the age. And as you read in Revelation, it says, and they did not repent of their sorceries. And so we see even during the Great Tribulation, occult activities are going on. And what is this issue all about? Well, let me read the passage and then we'll talk about why Moses is forbidding the people of God to dabble in the occult. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy 18. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. This morning I will share with you what are the issues involved in the prohibition of these occult activities. I'll talk about why these things are attractive, because they must be, even to this day, people are attracted to the occult. And we'll talk about what the issue is in its very essence. What is it that causes people to lust after this forbidden knowledge? Before I go any further, I want to define the term occult. Occult means hidden or secret knowledge. The main operating principle behind all occult activity, whether it be Ouija boards or astrology or any sort of means of finding the supernatural interpretations of secret things, is that there is a technology or a means by which people can gain secret spiritual knowledge which God has not chosen to reveal. So there's a desire for secret spiritual knowledge, that which is not revealed. And so the first thing we have to do is to distinguish between what has been revealed and given to us, that's ours, and what is forbidden. And an issue is secret spiritual knowledge. Let's look at some of these practices, and then we'll get further into the issue. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. This is a reference to Moloch worship. And what they used to do is offer their children to this pagan deity, Molech. And this was forbidden to the Jews, that they would practice child sacrifice. You might ask, why would anybody even want to do this? Why would people want to see their own children destroyed as an act of worship to this pagan deity? Now, first of all, I want to say to you that all of this is inspired by the devil. And part of the reason why you see child sacrifice come to the fore when these occult practices are popular is that Satan is behind them, and Satan hates human beings. Did you know that Satan does not have your best interests in mind? And human beings are created in the image of God. And we're created to be worshipers of God. And God has provided a plan of salvation for us. And Satan has, from the very Garden of Eden until this day, been actively, with all of the forces at his disposal, opposed to God's plan of salvation, opposed to Israel, opposed to Israel's Messiah, and opposed to anybody coming to the knowledge of God through God's ordained means. And so there is this hatred for people in general, because having been created in God's image and having been provided a means of salvation, Satan sees people as a threat, and he wants to destroy as many as he can. So when people open themselves up to the occult and begin to listen to things they shouldn't listen to and get into this world of spiritual darkness, one of the things that happens is their children become in jeopardy, because Satan will do whatever he can to destroy children. And he'll even use the agency of their own parents and relatives if those people will allow themselves to come into this much bondage to Satan. And so amongst the Jews, it was forbidden that they would practice this horrible, evil, wicked practice of child sacrifice to Moloch. And then the next thing that's forbidden says, one who uses divination. Now, this is the general term, divination, that covers all of the other things that are mentioned here. And I should say to you that this list is not exhaustive, but it gives us an idea about what the occult is and what we have to stay away from. Because the means of divination are infinitely large. Any pagan group or any society or anybody who doesn't want to listen to God and wants to get into this can come up with some new means of divination. There are people that read tea leaves. People get these Ouija boards thinking it's some nice child game. Because evidently, the people that are duped by Satan are led to believe that this is just harmless fun. And I want to tell you that this harmless fun isn't just mind over matter, or just isn't the forces of the universe or whatever they think makes this Ouija board spell out things. There are real spiritual forces behind it. And these forces of darkness do not have your best interest in mind, nor that of your children. And so we need to be warning people about these things. So there are many different ways of practicing this. So just because somebody devises a new one doesn't mean it isn't covered under this text. Divination is general. And divination in general means a whole range of means of gaining insight from the gods, regardless of the technique. So we're gaining secret insight of a spiritual nature by some means. Whatever your belief may be, you're getting the secret information by some means. That's what's prohibited here in the Bible. Secondly, it says, one who practices witchcraft. Witchcraft meant the performing of signs and the seeking to ward off of evil by certain spiritual activities or secret techniques. The ancient pagans were very concerned about fate. They were very concerned about bad things happening and believing that somehow the gods out there, or there are these forces out there that are determining my fate, and the people were terrified of these forces. This is still true today in many cultures. And their fear of what bad things might happen because of these forces led them to look for shamans or witches or witch doctors or somebody who had the secret or the key to warding off the evil forces of these powers that are out there. And this is called witchcraft. Now, God forbids it out of hand completely. And there are people who today are saying, no, you're making too much of a generalization. I have a letter that somebody handed to me from a person who's into witchcraft who was rebuking him for working on a movie that exposes witchcraft for being evil. And this person says, you're not making enough distinctions. There's good witches and bad ones. The bad ones cast spells to harm people. The good ones do things to help people. Now, according to the Bible, it's all evil. Why? Because Satan will seemingly do good to get you to believe a bigger lie in order to damn your soul. And it isn't because this stuff doesn't work that it's so insidious. That it works makes it worse. And so that's the lie that's being told in our culture today, is that Wicca isn't so bad because if you use it for good. Jose Silva, who purveys mind control, called Silva Mind Control, and his idea is to train people how to get spirit guides. And when confronted about his activity by some Christians. Jose Silva was asked, how do you know that these entities that you learn to hear from are good? And he says, well, they solve problems. But do you see the deception involved in that? Don't you think that Satan would willingly tell you something that helped to get you to believe a bigger lie? To get you to listen to familiar spirits? And maybe you get a better job, but it's a bigger bondage because you are opening yourself up to evil spirits which do not have your best interest in mind. And that is for sure, whether they solve problems or whether they make things worse. What we need is to be delivered from the powers of darkness. The gospel offers us freedom. The Bible says the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. And the Bible says that if we believe on Jesus Christ, who existed as God and with God from all eternity, who was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, was crucified for our sins once for all, and shed his blood for our sins once for all, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, victorious over all the powers. If we trust him, he will transfer us, it says in Colossians 1:13, out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And God has freedom. And it's not so simplistic as to just look around and see what works and what doesn't work. Someone may say, I go to the Ouija board, I go to the astrologer, I practice Wicca, and I've got a better job, and I paid all my bills, and I'm healthy and happy, and everything's fine. And I know Christians that went to Jesus Christ, and they lost their job, and they're suffering. Now, if you're just going to put that kind of a test to things, you'll be very much led astray. Because this isn't about who got the better job. It isn't about who has a nicer car. It isn't about who has less debts or more debts and who's happy and who's not happy and who's healthy and is not healthy. It's about where you're going to spend eternity. And they can't tell you about that, can they? They don't have any answer when you say, okay, I go ahead and listen to your spirits and get these answers, Jose Silva. But what's going to happen in eternity? Are you solving any of those problems? And, well, they don't have an answer about that. They hope for reincarnation or something else, but they don't really have an answer. So, therefore, these things are forbidden. They're secret. They're not allowed. They're not given by God. The one who interprets omens. Now, the ancient people had many ways of doing this, some of which exist in different cultures to this day. They'd do things like slaughter an animal and examine the entrails and find signs. They'd look at a liver out of an animal and see what they see in that. They would interpret signs in nature. Balaam was a guy that was a diviner, and his point was to examine signs and interpret omens and to try to find out what could be seen in nature through certain signs that aren't really being revealed through nature. So they used devices to gain revelations. And it says, or a sorcerer. The sorcerer in the ancient world, this world word denotes somebody who created apparitions. These things are still real. So they had people that would create apparitions, and some of this stuff actually works. And so people gain a greater delusion when it works. These things are real, and they're happening. And the only escape is through the gospel. So there's a creator of apparitions. Deuteronomy 18:11, or one who casts a spell. Now, this is what the Wicca people will tell you. See, we do good things. Now, there are bad witches. They're ones that put curses on other people, but we don't believe in that. We believe in using our powers for good. That is so full of holes. Like, it's amazing. One of the things is, who decides what's good? They have these godlike powers to make people's life miserable and make people's life good, and they're going to sit and make the decision, I think this is good, so I'm going to do this. That is forbidden. It's wicked. Yeah, whether it's used for, quote, good or bad. But the ones that cast a spell would invoke a curse to bring their targets under control. You know, when God works through His Holy Spirit, He liberates people. He liberates people from the powers of darkness. He liberates people from their fears and from fatalism and from superstition. He liberates people from the so-called fate and gives them a purpose in Jesus Christ. But then it talks about a medium here, and a medium was a necromancer who sought to communicate with the dead to gain secret information. Isaiah 8:19, look at this. And when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Listen to this. Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? We don't get to know what the dead have to say. On Good Morning America the other day, they had these necromancers on there who were trying to talk to Princess Diana. And here's this guy and his wife saying, oh, yeah, we made contact. Diana's telling us things. And I'm shocked that they'd put that on network TV, for one. And for the other, that people would be so naive and gullible to think that that's what they're actually getting. This is not coming from Princess Diana. This is coming from some demon, if it's anything at all. Okay, a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. Again, some of these things overlap one another, but we're not allowed to call up the dead. The spirit of the Egyptians, it says in Isaiah 19:3, will be demoralized within them, and I will confound their strategy so that they will resort to idols and ghosts of the dead and to mediums and spiritists. The pagans are running to these things, hoping to find some help, because they don't really have a God who is transcendent with all power and might who can really help them. So they go to these spiritists, hoping to find some help. It says in verse 12, but whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. In other words, the people that are living in the land of Canaan have been doing this for many years. That's why I'm driving them out and I'm bringing you there, so that what? Through these people, the Jews, and through Israel, there would continue this line of blessing, this promised Messiah, the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman, the seed of David. Ultimately, David was yet future. And that there would be the possibility of salvation even for these kinds of people that are doing this. So that all the families of the earth would be blessed. So there would be a way out of darkness, a way out of bondage, a way out of the occult, and into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God literally translates people out of it. Colossians 1:13. Translated out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. And so this bringing the Jews into Israel and making sure they don't have this in their midst is to preserve them as a covenant people who would have the gospel, who would bring God's news of salvation down to us. If they went in there and took all this stuff over, then Satan's strategy would win. And then it says, you shall be blameless before your Lord your God, for those nations which shall dispossess. Listen to those who practice witchcraft and diviners. But as for you, the Lord has not allowed you to do so. You're not allowed to listen. You don't want to hear it. Don't even open up and read your horoscope. You don't want to know. It'll plant stupid ideas in your head. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God on Horeb, the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So remember the story. This is from Exodus 20, 18 and 19. When they said, we're going to die. We can't. God is too awesome, too glorious. Moses, you go talk to God and tell us his words, and we'll do them. So that was the deal. And God said, yes, I will speak to Moses. He will speak my words to you. And you're obliged to do them. And so those words that God gave Moses are special revelation. God gave Moses infallible, inerrant, objective words from God that can be written on paper and stone, for that matter, the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words. And we have from God what is revealed, and it is true. And it's given to us. Can you imagine the privilege of being allowed to know the very words of the Creator God Himself? Now, words are those that mutter and pop and spew out little sayings. What did God say? And so these words were given through God's ordained prophet Moses, written down so that all generations could tell them. And Moses told them to do that. Tell your children coming in and going out. Speak of these things. Talk about these things. Put your word on your forehead, bind it on your foreheads. Make this central. May you always go about with the words of God, hearing and listening and sharing and talking and helping and training your children day in and day out. May the words of God be on your heart. And may you meditate on these things, because these things are revealed and they're for you and they're for your children's children. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law. So the occult is basically saying, I'm not satisfied with what God said. I want to know what he didn't tell me. Now, where did that start? Garden of Eden. Wasn't that the very first thing where Satan says, what did God say? Eve adds to it, and Satan says, you shall be like God. God is holding out on you. In other words, when it says, by the way, knowing good and evil in Genesis, I believe good and evil there is a merism that means like from A to Z, from one extreme to the other, and it includes everything. And so what Satan is saying, you can know everything. You're not going to be limited in your knowledge anymore. You're limited to what God has chosen to reveal to you. If you follow me, you're going to get all kinds of stuff that God didn't choose to reveal to you. You're going to gain unlimited knowledge. And so the occult started in the Garden of Eden, and what the occult is saying is that you can have knowledge that God has not chosen to reveal. The idea of this prophet that speaks for God is one whom God chose, who speaks infallibly and authoritatively for God. And these are the ones who write the scriptures. This future prophet, like Moses, is Messiah. We find that in John 5. So there's this idea of the one and the many. There is the office of prophet in the Old Testament that God sends prophet after prophet. Besides Moses, there were others that came, and those prophets spoke infallibly for God. And they spoke the truth that God was revealing to his people about present things and about future things. And there's a test. What they said needed to be in accord with their faith in God. They needed to tell him to serve God, and it needed to actually come true. So they may know that God had sent these prophets to speak for him. But ultimately, all the prophets are leading forward to the one ultimate prophet who will speak for God in the greatest sense that God has ever been spoken for. And this greatest prophet, who would be like Moses, is Messiah. And he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus displays his glory. Jesus walks sinlessly on the face of the earth, and he speaks inerrantly and infallibly for God because he is God, fully human and fully God. And so Jesus is this ultimate one, the one through whom the many were all pointing to, who comes and speaks for God. And it says that clearly in the New Testament. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So in the last days, this string of prophets leads up to Messiah, who has spoken in full and final revelation through his own teachings and those of his apostles that are inspired. That's what we have. And so when you add all that together, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, here's what you got right here. If you're listening on the radio or something, this is the Bible that I'm showing. And here it all is. This is God's revealed will concerning the past, the present, and the future. But now, what do people lust for? They're looking for prophets that have new revelations. It's not only the occultists who are going about telling us that they've got secret knowledge that God forgot to tell us about. We have people claiming to speak for Jesus Christ. And Jesus predicted that. He said, they'll come in my name and mislead many. False prophets will arise in my name. They will say, in the name of Jesus Christ, and proceed to tell you things that are not revealed. You can't gain them through nature by ordinary means of study. The Bible doesn't forbid you to learn how to be a gardener. I mean, general revelation has always been there for everybody. But what he does forbid is that you go out in your garden and examine the pattern of the worm men and try to get a secret revelation from that. That's divination. Do you see the difference? The prophet that speaks for God in the name of Jesus and gives you authoritative information that's not revealed in the Bible is trying to add to what God has said and falls under this category of that which is not permitted. Why do people turn to the occult? There's three reasons that I can think of. Number one, lusting for what is not revealed. The illicit always has a certain attractiveness to it. Our sin nature desires what's forbidden. Now, what's going on out here in this forbidden zone, the secret knowledge of the occult, God knows it'll destroy us. So you have to trust God. So there's the lust for what's not revealed. Two, failing to learn and study what is revealed. And that is really a big problem. And it's even with many, many Christians. The truth seems very mundane and boring, and all this other stuff is exciting. Why? Because people are refusing to learn what God has said. Three, the desire for power to control the forces of the universe. And that is the greatest one. The thing that drives the occult is a desire to control. because we don't trust God's providence. We don't trust that God will care for us and keep us from evil and lead us safely home. And we need to be prepared and we need to warn our children. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to Moses the dangers of the occult. And may we take it to heart and be satisfied with what you've revealed. Because, Father, frankly, in our finite minds, we can't even comprehend all of that in a lifetime. And, oh, how we hunger for it. And give us a hunger for your word. And help us to continue to preach the gospel with passion to the very day that you return or we go to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.